This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now, enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
We are concluding today our series, The Psalms of David. And if you're new to our church, we've taken a couple months now to go through Psalms written by David. And actually, we're going to continue in the Psalms for Christmas, but we're going to be looking at Messianic Psalms, not all of them written by David. But today we conclude in Psalm 145. And we're going to be looking at this word great, a word, it's kind of like love. We overuse the word love in our culture. I love ice cream. I love this. I love that. We do the same with great. Did you have a good day today? No, I didn't have a good day today. I had a great day today. Did you watch that game last? That was a great game. You ask my father, and there's a Cowboys fan. You ask my father-in-law, and I've known Denny Freitag for 30 years. And no matter what he's doing or where he's at, I can ask him, Denny, how's life going? And he'll go, I'm doing Tony the Tiger great. He uses the word great all the time. Our president loves the word great. I mean, he uses the word all the time. And I think today, whatever you think about God, however big you think God is, think bigger. However great you think God is, think greater. However mighty you think God is, think mightier. Because that's where we're going. As you look at Psalm 145 to 150, the word praise occurs 46 times. Praising, that when we think about God and how great and how big and how grand he is, we're going to see today, we can't even fathom how great he is. He's unsearchable. And when we're left with that thought, we should be left in awe, which should lead us to praise. And here's what happens in Psalm 145, and it's almost like a summary of the whole book of Psalms. He's overwhelmed by the greatness of God. And at the same time, God responds to those who love him. And you've heard me say it, and I'm going to keep saying it. Maybe at the end of the series, I should take a break. But if you go to see the show David at Sight and Sound, you cannot be out in the bathroom for the start of the second half. Because it will take you to Psalm 145. It'll take you to many of the Psalms, but to me, it takes me to Psalm 145 because it's a real simple, it starts off real simple with David with his harp in the middle of the stage. And then pretty soon, all of the crowd is sitting there in the galaxies as he is singing before the Lord. And that's where we start in Psalm 145, verses 1-3. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. And verse 3 is where I want to spend a little bit of time with an illustration today. He says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Your translation of the Bible may read unsearchable. And the Hebrew word for unsearchable implies that God's greatness is so vast, it cannot be fully measured, explored, or completely understood by us mere humans. He is so great. Think bigger, think greater, think more powerful, think more mighty. His nature is infinite, and there will always be new things we are discovering. And David shares with us that the heavens declare the glory of God, right? The heavens are telling the story of how great God is. If you want to be in awe and find time to worship, and it's something, we do this all the time. I do this with sunsets. I type in sunset on my search in my photos. I have roughly 16,000 photos on my phone. It's why my iCloud is up to like whatever. I have to pay for that storage each month. But I'm keeping it primarily for the sunsets. Because when you type in sunset, hundreds of sunsets, why am I still at 51 years old? I've seen plenty of sunsets. Why is it when I still see one, I will stop and take a picture as though I've never seen one? This is speaking to the greatness of God. Look up and see our great God at work. So what I want to do today is spend just a couple of minutes with an illustration I heard for the first time 20 years ago. Louis Giglio and Chris Tomlin were on tour with that last song we just sang, How Great is Our God. And Louis Giglio, Pastor Louis Giglio, takes us into just our galaxy, which is the... okay, this is going to be, the science nerds are going to love the next 10 minutes of this message, and the rest of you are going to be like, teach me something, but really, it's Sunday, and I haven't been in school for 60 years, so go light on me, Ted. Yeah, he takes us into the Milky Way, and I listened to this illustration several times over the last couple of weeks, and I wrote down all the numbers. I'm going to be throwing a lot of numbers at you in the next couple of minutes, and I had a thought about a week ago, I should probably fact check all of these numbers, like you do with me. I should probably see if he's right. And some of the numbers have changed 20 years later. Now think about this. The Hubble telescope went up in 1990. So about 15 years later is when Pastor Louis is giving this illustration. So we're now 20 years out. So we're 35 years into the discovery. And in the talk, Louis says, you know, think about this as he shares with passion about the Milky Way galaxy. He says, and we're just one of hundreds and hundreds of billions of galaxies that God created. And I'm like, is that true? Have we found more? So I Google searched it. And I just want you to know, everything you read on the internet is true. This is AI. So how can AI be wrong? But now look at the new numbers. Watch this. This kind of blew me away. There are an estimated 2 trillion galaxies in the observable or known universe, which is, I love that. It's a significant increase from the previous estimate of 100 to 200 billion. When we use terms today, and we're going to get beyond billion and trillion and go to quadrillion, I think it's important that we learn that term as our national debt approaches it. You don't like that. Yeah. But here's why. This to me, all the stuff, I was getting these massive estimates, and I'm like, that again is proof of how God is unsearchable. As far as Hubble can see, and the discoveries that it has made, it hasn't even scratched the surface of our great God. So then I'm like, how many stars are in just the Milky Way? Okay, just the Milky Way, and here's what I got. I love this. The Milky Way contains an estimated 100 to 400 billion stars. This is like how our government budgets. we're just going to go somewhere between 100, and they throw these big numbers around. I can't do that with my taxes. How much you owe this year? Ted, anywhere between 1,000 and 100,000. I have to be a little more accurate than this. But again, all of this is showing us, as much as we have discovered, right? We'll never fully measure, we'll never be able to fully explore or completely understand how great God is. And this shouldn't leave us frustrated. This should leave follower of Jesus left in awe what he's created. So what I want to do is we're gonna look at 4 stars today just in our galaxy. 4 stars in our galaxy. And there's some numbers you need to do math. And the students are like, it's been a wonderful Thanksgiving break. We're jumping into school way too early here. But when God said, let there be light, light came out of his mouth at 186,000 miles per second. When we use the term light year, we are talking about 5.88 trillion miles. So I'm going to throw some numbers up there as we talk about these 4 stars. And you're going to have to multiply a couple of times the number of light years times 5.88 trillion. And why we want to look at stars, to go to Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. And I love this expression that Pastor Louis loves to use. We serve a star-breathing God who spoke them into existence. So these numbers will be overwhelming, and that's the whole point. Some of you, I've already had people sending me corrected numbers. I was fact-checked at the 8:15. And I'm okay with that because your AI may be in a different mood at the moment you asked questions. But I want to start in our solar system. Okay, so it's what Louis calls like the cul-de-sac of our little cul-de-sac of the galaxy, of the Milky Way. We're going to go to our solar system. How many stars are in our solar system? We got a politician that said a lot. See, he's used to just saying that. Oh, 104. One. Who said one? Raise your hand. You said one. What is it? The sun. All right, give him a prize. You're going to get something on your way out today. Seriously. Very proud of you. Yes, so let's start with the sun. It's the only star in our solar system. It's 93 million miles away. So think about that. That's why it takes the sun's ray with 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface of the sun. It takes about 8 minutes for that ray to hit your skin here in Branson, Missouri. And this is the part I love. You know I'm going to have a lot of illustrations using a golf ball in the weeks ahead. If the earth was a golf ball, the sun would be 15 feet in diameter. And so I asked Matt Gumm, that is a 15 foot. So you can roughly fit a million golf balls inside of the sun. 960,000 Earths fit inside the sun. But this is the smallest star we will look at over the next couple of minutes. Pastor Louis says, the one that absolutely wrecked him as a teenager. And if you've never heard the term or the name Louis Giglio, he is passionate about apologetics. And actually my son, Carson, in junior high, his apologetics professor at Liberty University online for junior high was Louis Giglio. And I mean, Carson just became a facts guru, passionate about this same study. He said, but it was the star in our galaxy called Betelgeuse, which can also be referred to as Betelgeuse. So kids, use Betelgeuse if that helps you remember it. Betelgeuse is 548, some say, but I'm gonna use the term 640. It's 640 light years away. So multiply this again, we're in the Milky Way. We're not in all these other trillion galaxies. We're in the Milky Way galaxy. It's 640 light years. So that's 640 times 5.88 trillion. That's how far away it is. And now we're getting into bigger numbers. 262 trillion Earths fit inside. So if the Earth was a golf ball, okay, that would be, I would tell you to go to New York, go to Midtown, go up to the Empire State Building, set this on the ground, back up from it, and look up, and then take and add to it to where it's six Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other, and that's the size of Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse. If you this number, 262 trillion Earths fitting inside, you're like, how many golf balls is that? That would be like filling Arrowhead Stadium to the top with golf balls 3,000 times. Okay, that's the expression I was looking for. That's where we need to go as we progress through these stars. Louis said that this wrecked him as a teenager when he studied Betelgeuse. He said, because he said up to that point as a teenager, my prayers were advising God, counseling God, correcting God, suggesting things to God, drawing diagrams for God, reviewing things with God, kind of putting God on my course is when I realized how big God is and how great he is. But this is not the biggest star in our galaxy. Let's go to star number three, Musefi. That sounds like something out of Lion King, but I love it. Musefi, also known as the Garnet Star. It is 3,000 light years away. Again, still in the Milky Way galaxy. So take 3,000 times 5.88 trillion. And now here's the size. It's hard to comprehend. 2.7 quadrillion Earths fit inside. So to do that, let's do a little bit of math. It would be, I'd tell you to go from New York to California and go to the Golden Gate Bridge and set this down on the end of the Golden Gate Bridge, add another Golden Gate Bridge to it, and that is the size of Musefi. And if you were this one, let's do some math so you can kind of understand quadrillion, because our minds really can't wrap around that. A million seconds ago was how long ago, roughly? Some of you are like, I really did not want to participate. You know how much turkey I have had over the last 3 days? Math and science was not at the top of my list. It was just 12 days ago. Okay, so how much would you say is a billion seconds ago? Some of you are like, I got this. I know what we're doing now. September. May. No, it would have been 1993. Okay, a trillion seconds ago. Some of you are like, all right, I'm on to you. Civil War. It was during the Civil War. A trillion seconds ago, 29,700 BC. Now, I'm still a young Earth guy, so don't freak out as I get into these big numbers. And so quadrillion seconds ago, we can't even fathom this. Here's what it is. 30.8 million years ago. Okay, so big. That's the whole point we're trying to make, and yet Musefi is still not the biggest star. Let me give you one more star because you're so enthralled with this illustration. Canis Majoris, technical term, big dog star. 4,892 light years away. So multiply that times 5.88 trillion and 7 quadrillion Earths fit inside. If the Earth was a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the size of Mount Everest, 6 miles into the sky. And I know some of you have been there. Like, how can I fathom how many golf balls fit inside of Mount Everest? It would be like blanketing the state of Texas with golf balls 22 inches deep. We are talking big. So what is the point of all of this besides Ted wanting to use more golf illustrations? This reminds us that God is bigger, greater, grander than we can ever comprehend, and we stand in awe of his might, power, and glory, and all God's people said. What is the purpose of all this? I like how John Piper sums it all up. Nothing is more clear to me than that the purpose of the universe is for hallowing God's name. Leads us to praise and leads us to worship. And so as we think about these stars and the size that they are, that God breathed out of his mouth, and we think about the earth being a golf ball, how many dimples on this golf ball? A bunch. You really got it there going, Mr. Alderman. Hopefully you're in charge of budget. A lot and a bunch, 300. There's 300 dimples on here, which means there's 8 billion people on the earth. That would be 27 million dots per dimple. Can you find yourself on there? Pastor Louis says the whole point of that is, he goes, when I think about this, I get this shrinking feeling. I get this shrinking feeling. But what we must understand is our great God not only knows your name, he cares about you. Not only does he know your name and care about you, he sent his son Jesus to die for you. When I think about how special this place is and the people that are on this small little globe we call Earth and how much he cares for us, what this should do for you and what it should do for me, what some of you are doing, and because we experience it all week long, you obsess over your problems and your place in life. And your problems are great. That today, maybe you would stop obsessing over the size of your problems and start declaring how great your God is. Because this is what just captured David. This is what took David and made him go, "This, look around, look how big God is, and he cares for me." John Piper says, when we lose our grip on the greatness of God, we lose the divine equilibrium in life, and we become increasingly vulnerable to the problems overwhelming us. We begin to make God small, and he is great. When I don't understand what God is doing in my life or the world around me, I can still praise him. I think that's what we take away from this series. We can still lift our hands in worship and go, I don't know everything going on. And some of you in here and across campus and online right now, you have never felt more lonely. I've been listening a lot to that song by Cody Johnson, Traveling Soldiers. Anybody else been listening to that? I listen to it multiple times a day. It's kind of a sad story of a young man meets a waitress in a diner, and he's going off to Vietnam, and he says, I know you probably have a boyfriend, but I don't care. I ain't got no one to write a letter to. Can I write one back to you? And you know, then he dies in battle, and you know, he is coming home, but he's going to come home to be buried. And it says, man, the list of names read, and no one seemed to care except for the piccolo player in the marching band who he fell in love with before he went off to war. And I sit there and go, boy, you know how many people feel that? You know how many people, especially this time of year, feel lonely, feel isolated, feel like no one cares? And we start talking about a great, big, mighty, powerful God, and you're like, what does he want to do with me? Everything. He knows you. He cares about you. He never stops thinking about you. That's our great God. We cannot lose a grip, church, on the greatness of God. We must teach our children to stand in awe of the mighty power and glory of our great God. And that's the next few verses. You're like, you've only done 3 verses and you got 8 minutes. Get going, pal. Verse 4, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. Now, pause there for just a second, because David is not only thinking about the greatness of God that no one can fathom, he's unsearchable, but then bring it closer to home. And it's like, this same God saved me from wild animals. David's going, it's the same God that through me took down a giant. It's the same God that took a shepherd boy and made him a king. That's who we're talking about. And I will declare this. They tell the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. And you know, we've been saying this through this whole series. These psalms are meant to be sung. When you don't know what to pray, open your Bible to the Psalms. When you feel alone, isolated, when you feel like your problems are too big and nobody will understand, you open to the Psalms. And you read, and you meditate, and you proclaim, speak it out loud. You know how many times Amy walks in a week and I'm talking to myself? She thinks I'm talking to myself. I'm out loud reading stuff. Sometimes it's practicing for this and all these numbers. I'm not a big numbers guy, but just had to throw all this math at you today. I'm practicing, but there are other times I'm praying out loud, reading the Psalms out loud. Proclaim, sing, pray the Psalms in your life. So what I'm gonna do in the last couple minutes is just summarize the rest of this psalm as we think about our great God, star-breathing God. Verse 8 says, he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Verse 13 says, he is trustworthy in all he promises. Verse 14, he upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Verses 15 and 16, I love this description that David gives. Our great God opens his hand and feeds us at the proper time. What a great passage for us over the last 3 days. I'm going home today to eat leftovers. Anybody else eating leftovers after the services today? We have eaten so much the last few days. How grateful are we that all that God has provided for us, and this is what is spurring on our generosity to think about the people around the world that do not have what you and I just consumed over the last 3 days. And it was your gracious Heavenly Father that provided that for you. And now he's asking us to provide that for others. This is, I mean, we get to now go with all that you've done in November to tell people, hey, listen, you matter. Yes, God is great. He is mighty. He is powerful. And you matter to him. Verse 18, our great God is near to all who call on him. So think about it. Just looking out, take that Hubble telescope and go as far as you can. And guess what? God is not distant from you. He is near. I've been told by friends who have gone through open heart surgery or bypass surgery that the day or two following that have been some of the darkest days of their lives. Like they couldn't speak. Some of them had tubes in for the first day out of the surgery, and then they would come out. They couldn't speak. The pressure on their the heaviness, and then they're told to walk down the hall by like the next day or two. And I've had friends tell me, Ted, a walk down the hall, not even 50 yards, felt like I was running a marathon. I had a friend last week, a pastor friend, 55, so this is hitting a little closer to home, was doing his regular physical. He was doing the stress test and had a heart attack. During the stress test the next day, he had quadruple bypass surgery. And I've been thinking about him since he's only like 3 years older than I am. And I just texted him last night and I said, I hope your recovery, brother, is exceeding your expectation. I'm praising God that he has given you more years here with us. And he said, I've never felt God closer. I've never felt him more. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he is with me. The God of the universe, known and unknown, knows your name. He knows every detail of your life. He knows every concern and anxious thought that you have right now. And I need you to know, verse 19, he hears our cry. Cry out to him. Pastor Piper says, you can't pray about a problem he doesn't know and care about. None. No matter how small you think they are. In verse 20, our great God, I had put in our great God, but I wanted the whole thing to be almost like Guardians of the Galaxy. Our star-breathing God watches over all who love him. And a couple of weeks ago, we did baptisms, and I did it the baptisms at 8:15. And I always ask the same questions when people come into the tub, and I want them to declare with their mouth what they're doing. And with a yes or no question. And I can't deliver these questions without that lower lip quiver. And it's usually answered with a lower lip quiver. But I'll simply ask, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe he lived a sinless life and went to the cross for your sins and for my sins? Yes. Is he your Savior and is he your Lord? Have you repented of your sins and now you're going in the way he's called you to? Yes. Do you believe Jesus was raised from the dead? Yes, I believe that. And into the tub we go. I think about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Romans 10:9, what do we read? If you will declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead, you will be saved. Our great God sent his son to die for us here on what we refer to as planet Earth. And I am one of 8 billion dots on this golf ball that he died for, that Jesus gave his life for. And so today, as we close, I'm gonna ask that you bow with me. Prayer team will be down front. Isolated, alone, problems big. Maybe there's food needs in your family. That's what the prayer team is down front for, to guide you in the right direction and to help you. But for some, food and relationships, not your greatest need. Your greatest need is placing faith alone in Christ alone, repenting of your sins and trusting Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are overwhelmed with how great you are, how mighty you are, how powerful you are, and you are unsearchable. No one can fathom how great you are, so we stand in awe before you, and we praise. It's all we know to do is praise. And at the same time, how great you are, you are still near to us. You hear our cry, you care for us, you forgive us. And for that, I pray that one is hearing it for the first time today and responding, that the Holy Spirit will call them by name and that they will place faith alone in Christ alone today and turn their life around and run to you, our great God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen. Love you, church. Hope you have a great week. It's a little surprise for you as you head out. We'll see you next Sunday.